As we look at this passage I just read in James the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 17, James is discussing a subject that sometimes we do too much of and sometimes we don't do enough of, and that's planning. We can plan something that down to the minutest detail and then fall apart when all the plans don't work out. And then on the other hand, we can just kind of throw it together and not plan at all and wonder why it ends up in chaos. But James tells us that we need to plan. It's a very relevant subject to today. We all make plans of one sort or another. Plans for college and for jobs and for marriage and for family, vacation, retirement. And making plans in and of itself is not wrong. As a matter of fact, I really believe it's essential. As we look in the New Testament, we can see Paul often made plans that he wanted to go here, to go there. Acts 18, 20 and 21 tells us that he says he was going to go. And that was a plan that he had made ahead of time. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 5 and 6, he tells the Corinthians, I'm going to come back. I'm going up to Macedonia, the northern part of the nation, but I'll be back. And my plan is to spend the winter with you and spend some time there. One of the keys to success is having a plan, having a goal, if you will. If we don't have a plan, if we don't have a goal, the chances are we're not going to get there. Most things don't just happen. If we're just kind of going with the flow, we end up wherever the flow takes us. And that may not be where we intended to go. But folks, there's a right way to plan, and there's a wrong way to plan. And that's what James is talking about today. He says, first, we can submit to God's will. That's one way to plan. The other way to plan is just simply ignore God's will and do what you want to do. I don't think we have to get all the way to the end of this lesson before we figure out which one of those two is best. But let's look at what James had to say. We can submit our plans to the will of God if we're willing to. James 4, verse 13, James says, now go to you that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Making a plan, but it has to be contingent on God's approval. I mentioned in Acts 18, verse number 21, Paul said, I'll come, God willing. He understood it was in God's hands. The Lord willing. He says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 7, that if the Lord permits, I'll come back to Corinth. If the Lord permits. Now, you know, saying that, saying if the Lord will or if the Lord permits, assumes two things. Number one, it assumes that God does have a plan for us, even in mundane things. There's a will that God has for us. And number two, it assumes that God can intervene providentially to carry out His will. I'm not so sure that many people have those thoughts, that God has a plan for even the mundane things. But the wisdom of making our plans contingent on the will of God, I think, is going to come evident as we go through this lesson today. And I hope that we all do that, because only God can bring about what He wills and what He desires, and not us. I know I have made many a plan that I look back on it and say, that one didn't work, did it? Let's go to plan B. And then plan C, and then plan D. And sometimes you just feel like throwing up your hands and say, whatever, I'll just go. But if we really want our plans to succeed, the first thing we need to do is try to discern God's will, and then plan according to it. To the greatest degree possible, I believe God wants us to do what Paul says in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in verse number 17, and that's to understand His will. He prayed for these folks that they would understand His will. He tells the Colossians in the 1st chapter, in verse number 19, that He wanted them to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Now, I think that's talking about the revealed will. I think that's talking about the text of the Scripture. I think that's talking about things that are pertaining to right and wrong. Things God wants us to do, things God doesn't want us to do. I think that is found on the pages of Scripture. In other words, we need to spend some time with the book. We have to read it. We have to understand it. We have to meditate upon it. And until we do, it's really difficult to plan according to His will if you don't know what it is. We need to know the Word of God. And if we don't know, we still need to make our plans contingent upon His approval, subject to His will. Now, I think there's not only God's revealed will, but I think there's God's permissive will. That I'm not talking about things that are right and wrong here. I'm talking about things that are good and better. You know, there's good ways to spend your time, and then there's better ways to spend your time. There's good ways to spend your money, and then there's better ways to spend your money. There's good ways to spend your energy, and then there's better ways to spend your energy. But I think God has a will for us in all of that. And we need to have the trust and the dependency upon God that He'll let that matter be known. And we commit our plans to His will. Now, second way to plan. And that's just to ignore God's will. And that's really where James is going with this whole passage here, verses 13 through 15. He says to plan this way is just nothing but folly. It's silly. It makes no sense whatsoever to deliberately say, look, I don't care what God wants, here's what I want to do. I'm going to do it anyway. And he gives us several reasons here why it's silly. He says, number one, life is complex. I mean, there's lots of different factors. There's the complexity of time. He says, today or tomorrow, I'm going to do something. When's the best way to do it, the best time to do it? If we just think, well, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, we can get in some real trouble. I think all of us have had the experience of thinking, you know, I wish that I waited another day and thought that through just a little bit better before I did that. That's what he's talking about, today or tomorrow. The complexity of time. And then he talks about how complex life is in the complexity of activities, buying and selling. He says there's so many different activities out there, so many different things to do. And if we just kind of go at it, take what I can get, rather than having a plan that's subject to God's will, we're going to end up in trouble. But he tells us there are decisions to make. And you know, when you start making decisions, the chances are sooner or later you're going to make a mistake. But we need to be subject to God's will, and we'll make fewer mistakes. If it's possible to know God's will, if it's possible to know God's will, that certainly will increase the likelihood of us making a correct decision when we're making our plans and setting our desires. But not only is life complex, but life is so uncertain. So very uncertain. I mean, none of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. Not a one of us, from me down to Elijah. We just don't know. We don't even know whether there'll be a tomorrow. Kim and I were just talking a few minutes ago about a Bible dictionary she was wanting to send to one of her students, or was it Andy was wanting to send it to a student, I think it was. And I looked through my library, and I've got all my stuff on a computer anymore. I've given away all my Bible dictionaries, I guess, except for one four-volume set, which is, you know, I'm not going to give that away to send to somebody else. Kim says, what are you going to do when the electricity goes out? And you got it all on a computer. I said, I'd sit down and cry. That's what I would do. And then I'd open up the book and I'd start doing it the way I did when I first started preaching. Didn't have a computer for the first, I don't know how many years, when I first started preaching. Did it with a pencil and paper and a book. But, you know, we don't know whether there'll be a tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And that's just what James tells us in the 14th verse. You know not what shall be on tomorrow. We just don't know. And only God is going to bring about the future the way He wants it to be. Not me. I don't have that kind of power. And, you know, if that's true, and I think we all agree it is, doesn't it make sense to make plans according to His will and not our own? But there's a second reason James gives us, or actually a third reason, I guess. It's complex, and you know, we don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. He says in verse 14, in the second part of it, he says, what's your life? It's even a vapor. It's a vapor. It's so frail. I told you about my grandson's friend down in the Cincinnati area, 19 years old, going to get married next month. And now she's dead because of a car accident. You just don't know. You don't know. You know, I look at Elijah and I think, you know, boy, I want to be around and watch him graduate. I want to be around and watch him have kids. Have the joy of holding my great-grandson. But I don't know. I don't know if I'll be here tonight. I don't know, and neither do you. Because life is so frail. That's what he's talking about. What's your life? It's a vapor. How substantial is a vapor? I can remember when Sandy and I were traveling up through the mountains down in the south, and we came around the bend, and there was a solid wall of clouds. I mean, you couldn't see anything. What do you do? Well, we drove right into it. A little bit, well, a whole lot slower than what we were going before we got in there. But it looked like a solid wall. But it wasn't. It was just vapor. It was something that could be penetrated. You know, how substantial is a shadow or vapor? How quickly we can succumb to sickness. How quickly an accident can change our lives. Remember when I was over in Indianapolis? Woke up just shaking. I mean, I was freezing. They took me to the hospital and the doctor said, I'm going to have to put you in ICU. I said, no, I'm going home to Columbus. And he said, no, you're going in ICU. I said, I don't go in ICU, I visit ICU. I'm not that sick. He said, oh, yes, you are. And what was it, 3 days later, I agreed. I was weak as a kitten. I mean, just like that. went to bed. I wasn't feeling great, but I wasn't feeling that bad. And ICU by morning. Many of us could tell that story. But you know, when we think about that, how foolish is it to think that we have the strength within ourselves to make our own plans and not take God into control? Just foolish. But there's a fourth reason he gives us. And that is, even if our life lasts, it's just for a little time. Look at verse 14 again. What's your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanishes away. And you know, when you're young, you look at someone and say, then they're old. They've been here forever. I was at Perkins, Karen's party yesterday, and I was talking to this young man, and he said, boy, back when I was in school, he said, you know, where'd you go to school? And I told him Ohio Valley College and Memphis School of Preaching. He said, oh, when were you there? I said, oh, let's see, I went to Memphis in 73. And his jaw dropped to the floor. He said, I wasn't born for 20 years after that. I said, I was married, had four kids, been to Vietnam and back, and had a college degree before then. He said, no. No. That takes so long to do all that. And you know, to me, it seems like it's just like that. When you get a few years, time just goes. I just can't believe. It's 2012. You believe that? October of 2000. I mean, it's almost over. I'm still waiting for 2000 to get here. And it's 2012 already. So brief. I watched Jessica with Elijah. And I think about carrying her around like that. I sat and rocked him last night, put him to sleep. By the way, he's a Buckeye fan. Because that's what we were watching when he went to sleep. And he just laid there and he fought, but finally went right on to sleep. And I thought, you know, many a time I've held either her or Matt and put him to sleep. And it just seemed like yesterday. It seems like yesterday. And you know, since life is so short, I think it's important we do God's will. Not mine. Not mine. He tells us that not only is it folly to make my own plans, but look at what he says when we get down here in verse number 16. He says that now you rejoice in your boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. New King James says that it's arrogance to plan without taking God into consideration is just plain arrogance. 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 He tells us in verse 15, you ought to say, the Lord will, we shall do this and do that. When I say I'm going to do what I want, not taking God into consideration, what I've done in effect is saying, look, I got as much control over this thing as you do. Are any of us going to want to stand on the judgment day and look God in the eye and say, I'm just as powerful as you are? Leave me alone. I want to do it my way. I know Frank Sinatra made it famous. But I suspect he knows different now. I really do. He says, it's arrogant. And on top of that, it's sin. That's what verse 17 is talking about. Him to know to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Folks, if we're Christians, we know better. We know we shouldn't stand up to God and look Him in the eye and say, I'm going to do it my way. We've got to do it God's way. We got to make sure that we don't have that arrogant, boasting attitude. But that we've got an attitude of, I know what's good. I know what's right. And that's the plan according to God's will. And if I know that, and I don't do it, I mean, that's the bottom line, folks. It's sin. It's sin. So how do we make our plans? How do you make your plans? How do I make my plans? If I'm making my plans without considering the will of God, then I'm foolish, I'm arrogant, and I'm sinful. That's God's evaluation. That's not Don's. I don't want to be arrogant, foolish, and sinful, and I don't think you do either. But if we make our plans subject to His approval, then He tells us that we're wise, we're submissive, and we're righteous in His sight. Now, I think that sounds a whole lot better. I'd much rather have those adjectives than the others, wouldn't you? I would much rather have God look down and say, you know, Don is a arrogant, boastful, sinful person. No. I don't want Him thinking that about me. I want Him to look at me and say, look, that Don, he's a pretty good guy. He's making his plans according to my will. And he's pretty wise and he's submissive and he's righteous in my sight. Wouldn't you like that? And on top of all that, when we endeavor to plan as much as we can within the framework of God's will, we have a much greater possibility, likelihood of success. And that's what we're planning for anyway, isn't it? Success. Now let's make this a little more practical. What's your plans for eternity? What have you planned? Most of us in here have submitted to His will. Because you see, the Bible is very, very plain and very clear on God's plan for eternity, and that is that we believe the Word of God, that we repent of our sins and confess His name, and then be buried with Him in baptism. But folks, there's another verse that we need to take into consideration. That's Revelation 2:10, where He tells us we need to be faithful unto death. Is that part of your plan for eternity? To be faithful unto death. We can be certain of success. Certain of success if we submit to God's will concerning our eternity. And we can ignore it if we wish, but we're living a life of uncertainty, frailness, and brevity. If not this morning, when? You don't have this afternoon. You don't have tomorrow to make that decision. When? What's your life? It's just a vapor. Are you going to heaven? Have you done as the Lord wills? Because to him that knows to do it and does it not, that's a sin. Have you and are you doing his will in your life each and every day? Not just on Sunday, but I mean each and every day. Because we may not be around for next Sunday. I hope we are. Well, I want to see Elijah grow up. I want to see my other grandchildren grow up. Some of them are getting pretty close. How wonderful that thought is. But we don't have a guarantee. Are you ready for eternity? Can we help? You want to make a decision today? Do it right now while we stand.